Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Just Tennis Talk Show radio host. I'm your host, Coach Wes Fuller, along with my wonderful co-host, Susan Nardi. Hey, Susan, how you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. It's been a glorious day in East Texas. How's everything in Hotlanta?
Rainy today. We've had some, we've had some pretty good weather. You know, we've gotten up, last week was a little cold, but we got up to some 60s, but it's raining today. It rained today because we had some serious thunderstorms come through here. You know, almost like that girl came through, you know, in the Aussie Open and took it away from Serena. You know, we had some serious thunderstorms come through here. I hear you going to do some tournament, go to kids and play to some tournaments this weekend, huh? Go have some fun watching the tournament.
My girl's playing in a Super Excellence this weekend, so I get to go down with her and hang out. And I've never been down to Corpus. You know, here I live in East Texas, and I've never been down to Corpus, which is kind of funny. The Virginia, California girl just doesn't get out much. But going down there this weekend, excited. So it'll be good to go down and see what's going on. So we'll have a good day of training tomorrow, and then we'll get on down on Friday. So
I hear you. That sounds like a little. And as long as plays well and everything goes well, everything is fun. Everything is fun. Now, what do you think about the Aussie Open? How'd you like the finals? How'd you like the Open? How'd you like the first Grand Slam of the year?
It's funny. I haven't seen the finals of. I mean, I know the results obviously, but I didn't see. But cut bits and pieces of the women, and wow, I mean, who would have ever saw that coming? You know, but hey, give it to the girls. She played extraordinarily well.
I think I did. I felt it coming. I felt Serena when Serena beat Sharapova. I thought Serena peaked at one time. I thought when she played Sharapova, I thought she was so focused and so perfect that I just thought she just peaked one day too early, because it just seemed like when she was playing the final, she just seemed like she could find any will to want to, just like she just had nothing to want to win. It's like she let it all out with Maria, because she put a whipping on Maria. She put a whooping
She likes to whip up on Maria. I think that's like her favorite thing to do. But, after what happened at the Open, I thought she would probably come back, win this, and then her downfall would be the French. But, kudos to the German, man. She played a great game. She, you know, played well. And, wow, I mean, awesome stuff. And the men, I mean, you know, Novak just somehow, you get him pinned somewhere and he just finds another gear. I mean, he's the man right now, head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yes, he is. He whooped up on Mary also. I mean, it's going to be interesting this year. It's going to be really, really interesting this year. You know, I think there's going to be a couple breakthroughs. I think ones that we had said would never do it or never. I think there's going to be a couple breakthroughs. I mean, I just see, and I really see Giles. I see Giles Monfils. Ever since even last year where he's gotten to these, you know, Federer, he's got to the U.S. Open, these little things, he's knocking on that door a little bit more now. It's just like going to the casino, you know, when you're hitting almost the sevens, and then I just think that somebody is going to be a sneak through. There's going to be a breakthrough. There's going to be a shocker or a surpriser that's going to do it. But yes, Novak is playing great.
I'd like him to get his French, so he has that French win under his belt. That he hasn't gotten yet. But you know, who knows? You know what'll happen with Nadal? Somebody else breaking through. It's going to be a fun year. That's for sure.
Yeah, I do. And I actually think that this Aussie Open loss for Serena could be a great thing. I understand she wants the year Grand Slam, but I think it now eliminates all of that pressure. If Serena would have won, we would be right back to last year. right back to last year. Instead of now, instead of looking at the whole picture of tennis, all we would do is focus on Serena. Now we can focus on more than Serena. You know, it opens up the door for other players to get some pub and to get some light. You know, I thought Madison played very, very, very well. I thought Maria played very, very well until she ran into Serena. I mean, I think it allows us now to open up to talking about some different players.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I think so too. And, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to, I'm not sure how long this bet goes for between you and Jared, but, you know, I'm on Team Jared's side on this bet, so on the men.
I think I'm at 50 so far. But see, he got me. I thought I had girls too. So I'm like, well, Jared, I still got Madison Keys. He's talking about, no, I said men. I said, he's got me. But, you know, I told him I got my dancing shoes ready too for my Celine. You know, I might have to make a Celine Dion song, you know, but hey, I'm ready. You know, that's the joke. But hey, Susan, now I was talking to a friend of mine. She's a female friend, and she used to be a student. And she's just finished college, and she played college tennis. And she came to me, and she did a little part-time work with me. And she asked me a question the other day. She asked me, Coach Wes, I really want to get into teaching tennis. I think I could make an impact. I think I could really do well. The industry seems so nice, and you know, everybody as a player, everybody was so cordial to me, and it just was. It was such a perfect atmosphere for me. And she asked my advice. And I really didn't know how to give her too much advice, but to simply tell her that it wasn't what it seemed, and that she should get around and talk to a few other female coaches and get a true perspective of it. Because I think looking at it, asking a man how it would be as a female coach, I think that we men see things totally different, and our perspective of different things, our emotions, we just think totally different. And I just don't think that I was the right person. And I told her that we were doing something this week. You know, we were going to talk a little bit about female coaching, and I like for you to give us a little bit, I guess, a summary, or what you would say to someone. One of your students or someone who was female, they finished college, they finished their whatever they were doing, and now they send me, Suze, Coach, I want to get into coaching. You know, I think it's a great field, and, you know, everyone is so cordial. Everyone is just such a friendly, and I just feel it's a positive industry. What would you say?
I would agree. I mean, like any industry, it's got its ups and downs, and it's different aspects of it. But, you know, it's funny that you're asking me, because I've actually mentored a guy in the industry, and that's up in Dallas. So, the shoe's kind of on the other foot here. But, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, just because you're a player doesn't mean you can coach. There's a lot of aspects to being a coach or a tennis professional or instructor, whatever you want to call it. I prefer the word coach. But, you know, I think you have to go to somebody that's been around, learn what they do, get a certification, and there's several out there, and continue to learn. And one of the things that I know I've done is go and learn from different people. You know, I learned from Drew Everett and how the Everetts do things. I've learned from Pam Austin. I've learned from Oscar Wagner. I've learned from Don Henson. I've learned from Vic Braden. I've learned, you know, from Joy Macy, what, you know, the Macy's did back in their heydays and stuff like that. From different sports psychologists, whether it be Joy or Linda LeClaire or Bryce Young or Alan Fox or any of those guys, you know, Frank Giampaolo, and learn from different people and learn how different things go and never stop learning. And I think there's a huge place and a huge need for women to be coaches, because a lot of women, it's something that they don't really think of, especially girls that have been players. So I think, you know, especially if she's interested in coaching, I would really encourage her to, you know, come be a part of it. And I will say this, all women coaches typically know each other or know of each other. And it's its own sorority, so to speak. And the sisterhood of people that you meet from, like, Yvonne Gallup on the West Coast to up in San Francisco, Pam Austin to Joy Macy, to people like Sherry North and Carrie Cimino. And there's just tons of really good girls out there. Lisa Dotson is another one who's fabulous. And it's just it's good to hang out with the girls, and they have so much to teach young people about this profession. And they're good for for guys as well.
Do you feel that there's a difference? Do you feel that when you come into a meeting, or like a female coach, as a female coach, when you're at a convention or at a workshop or at a meeting, when you give your opinion, do you feel as though the men are actually paying attention to you, or even not just you yourself? Maybe they may be paying attention to you, but have you ever noticed some of your other colleagues, female colleagues, that when they speak, that they don't seem like they get the men's attention? I know everybody is different and everybody has a different respect. So that's why I wanted to say just not maybe you in a sense, because I know you, but have you ever noticed before, and we're looking at the female coaches, that we never noticed at some of the workshops or different places, when they give an opinion, that their opinion is less respected or talked over or pushed to the side?
I used to maybe years ago, but not so much anymore. I think, you know, society has changed a lot. I mean, I still think there's some of that attitude once in a while that you'll see, but I think most of the female coaches that I know and things that I've learned from Billie Jean back in conversations that I had with her is, you know, don't make that your issue. Just, you know, be you and be the best version of you. And that's what she had told me when I was 29. And so I just kind of operate under that goal. But I think a lot of women kind of feel that way, and I think sometimes that's why they don't participate on forums like they should. And I think a lot of it too is, I'll look at some of the comments, and it's like, well, I'm not going to comment on that crazy, and they just kind of move on. I got kids to pick up from school, or I got this and that and the other, I've got bigger fish to fry. But I encourage them to get engaged and at least something that interests them in a conversation. I've made some extraordinarily really good friends. I mean, I wouldn't trade, you know, on both sides, you know, whether it's a guy or a gal. I mean, I wouldn't trade Ken Schuler for anything on the earth. So.
Do you find...
But don't tell him I said that. He might think I like him. Huh?
Oh, Lord, don't. You know, because he'll wear his plaid shorts. You know,
He'll wear his plaid shorts. You know, him and Dave Smith and their plaid shorts.
But now, do you think? I kind of struggle with this in a sense, and I guess a lot of men struggle with this and do it subconsciously, where men and women speak to each other differently. There's a communication thing there that I've always been taught to. When you see a young lady, when you see a lady, you speak to a lady differently. Now, when I'm talking to a guy or something, I'll speak to guys differently. Do you find that sometimes men get caught up, or men don't know how to communicate with the woman, or they know she's a coach, but they don't know if they need to, if they talk to her as they would talk to another male coach, or do they talk to her as a female, which means I now have to come to maybe a softer tone, which I might not be good at expressing myself with or communicating with. Do you find that when you talk to men that you find out that they're kind of not really understanding how to communicate to a female coach? You ever find that?
A little bit. I mean, you know, it's funny. I know of somebody who is a, Yeah, it does. I know somebody that's a women's college tennis coach, and he's a father, and he's had nothing but girls. But yet I can tell you the girls on his team aren't big fans of him, and I'll accuse him of not being able to communicate. And you think, well, he's a dad of girls, and yet, you know, his communication skills aren't considered all that great. And I think so much of it is learning how, not that you have to change things, but it's the nonverbal communication, picking up the clues. I think sometimes people are clueless at picking up the clues, if that makes sense. And I think you got to look at things and pick it up. Like, I have coached some girls that I was more careful about how they phrased it because of their emotion, you know, what their mental emotional needs were. And then last weekend, the kid I'm coaching now, she was telling me about her doubles partner and says, "Oh my God, Susan, she was crying after the loss." I was like, "Crying? There's no crying in tennis." And I said, "We put on our big girl pants and we can move on, you know." And my player's like, "Exactly." So, you know, but I know how to talk to my girl here because she, you know, you don't have to be cool about it or anything, but she wants you to be honest and just tell her, you know. And I just say, "Hey, well, you know, we're going to do this. It's okay. We're going to do this." And, you know, but with a guy, you might go, "Oh, you're lazy," or whatever. You say, come on, we're gonna get this, come on, you know, and it's just a different kind of thing.
Okay. All right. I mean, I've noticed that, you know, in speaking and having coaches communicate with other coaches, and I've noticed a lot of coaches, when they speak, they don't seem to understand the difference in the communication, and they don't understand how intimidating, I think, sometimes you can be to some female coaches who are coaches, but still they're still females and they're still ladies, and they're not used to such brutal or rough conversation when you can talk in a different way. I think that sometimes I find lots of men coaches have a communication gap, and that communication gap can sometimes be interpreted or misunderstood as being intimidating. You know, I've seen coaches there speaking where it seemed like they actually intimidated the female coach, but they didn't really intentionally mean that because they weren't aware of their surroundings. They weren't aware of the clues. They weren't aware of the signs that the uncomfort or the way or the manner that they were speaking to coaches. And I think that I've seen that be a big drawback to the industry for female coaches, where, you know, this student comes to me and she says she's seen everybody be polite and everything. Well, I think that's a player, yes, coaches, even if coaches, whatever coaches, whoever coaches, as a player, they're going to be polite to you. But now, as you being a peer to them or a colleague to them, I don't necessarily know if you're going to get that politeness all the time that you got as a player. If you follow what I'm saying, is a follow what I'm saying is. There's a big difference, and also I've seen, and I've also, you know, witnessed and seen where female coaches seem to have it harder to charge as much as men. You know, as far as I've seen where it seems like the female coaches to me seem like they have to prove themselves more than men.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I had that same coach
I was referring to about the story about the communication. When he met me, he actually went online and verified the players that I had worked with. I mean, it was great if he was a parent and he wanted information. I'd have been thrilled. But it was really odd that he had to verify, like, every aspect of my background. And I know he did it because one of his players that he coaches on the side had said something about my background. There's no way that they would have known that unless they had vetted my information. Because I didn't say anything about it. And it was really, you know, it's like, okay, I don't, you know, I'm not going to lie about anything, but okay. And, yeah, it's like, you know, and I just kind of, you know me, Wes, you know, nothing like that is going to bother me or anything like that. I don't have anything to prove, you know, put in the pudding, let's get out. I'll teach you teaching. Let's see how far this dude gets with you and with me. I mean, I'll take that bet anytime, but.
Yes, and that's yeah. Some of the results. That's the results, and that are results. I mean, I get amazed every day when you know when I'm interacting with people and I'm interacting with coaches, and you know there may be videos, a video of a female player, and then a coach may post a video of a male player. To me, it baffles my mind of how they think the two can even compare. You know, that there's two different body structures. Yes, the principle is the same, but there's two different ways, two different methods, two different energies, two different ways of releasing the energy. They're two different. The bodies are two different. You know, I get a feeling that, you know, male coaches. Actually, to me, sometimes I tend to think sometimes it's intimidation. Is that maybe the intimidation is actually the female coach intimidates males, so now they have to always protect themselves and always, you know, putting up something to equal something good of a female. And instead of saying, yes, that's a very good serve, we've always got to now put up a male or put up somebody to counteract. See, we're better. See, you see my leg, see her leg turns here where his is straight. See, his is perfect and yours is wrong. But yet you serve 120 miles an hour, 125 for a girl, and that's excellent. Where he's, I mean, I that always seems to baffle me where men find that to be very interesting. I mean, find that to be challenging. I don't find that to be challenging of comparing a female player and male player and who's the better. I think that's a problem.
I would agree. I mean, you know, the advanced foundation of how you play the ball, okay, is you know, the biomechanics is the biomechanics, okay? But body type and strength and all that plays a massive role. And are women physically as strong as men? No. Should there be a lot more women working now? Yes. And, I mean, I would hope Dawu would give me a high five on that one. But, you know, it's like comparing basketball coaches. I'll use basketball coaches. Who are you going to say, Wooden, or are you going to say Pat Summitt? Boy, that's a hard one to call there.
Yes.
You know, two amazing coaches.
Yes.
You know, who are you going to call? Are you going to call Cheryl Miller? Are you going to call Reggie Miller? I don't know, man. Cheryl had a heck of a career. I mean, you know.
That's right. And listen, I can tell you firsthand about Cheryl. Listen, you know, she's tough. She's very tough.
Cheryl's tough, man. She's no joke. I mean, I used to play with I shot around a hoops with Parsons, who was a coach down at Christus in Newport. She was a Kodak All American. She coached in the WNBA. Later on, I think for the DC team, and I'm telling you, man, she shot the lights out of that. I mean, I don't think she missed but two shots in our 30 minutes out on the basketball court, and then I got to go out and go on the tennis court, but and revive my ego. But You know, and I mean, I joke all the time about, you know, you think Bobby Knight's tough. Oh, my, you know, you need to be on the basketball court with Pat Summitt and during her heyday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Pat was tough. Pat Summitt was tough.
I know Calhoun
was
tough.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, I kind of look at it all and just go, you know, I think a lot of women, though, aren't as, how can I say this? Don't have that nerdy gene and aren't as assertive or as maybe, you know, I don't let anybody bowl me over, but, you know, And I think some people just aren't wired that way. But most of the guys that I'm really good friends with, whether it's Alec Horton or Dave Smith or Ken or you or anything are pretty, you know, don't look at women that way. So
when you go to a tournament, when you're taking your girl, say you're taking your player right now to a tournament, you're playing against another young lady, it's a male coach. Do you interact, or do they interact, or do you get a vibe that because now the player comes up with a female coach, that he now, we haven't played the match, and I know this has no bearings on the match, but do you get a vibe now of sense of cockiness that, you know, because you're a female coach and he's a male coach, that his player is going to beat you, or that he somehow tries to intimidate the coach? I've heard stories of coaches trying to, you know, or try to intimidate the female coach and just trying to do various things, not even on the court.
Well, I mean, I haven't had that here, but I can remember when I was coaching high school tennis back in Southern California at CAPO. I can remember the coach at CDM at the time. My player was asking him, "Hey, well, I'm ready to start my singles," and he yelled at my player. I wasn't there at the moment, and she's telling me about it, and I look at her, and I was like, "You looking in my eyes? You looking at my eyes?" And she goes, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Bagel her. You hear me? Bagel her. You got what I'm saying? Bagel." And she goes, "Yeah, coach, I got this." And she goes out, and the match ended up being a 9-all tie, and my girl bageled her, but we won it on a games count. And it's so funny because that girl that I said that to has ended up being an attorney, and I think she works in the Justice Department, which is hysterical, you know, tough as nails. And, you know, I had a couple of collegiate players on that team that played D1 tennis, one at Penn State and the other one at BYU, now the coach there. And, you know, and they were all just looking at me. I mean, I can remember a mess up in the peninsula where, the whole football team tried to rattle my girls, and how I had to defend and protect my girls. And people will do all sorts of stuff, but, you know, I don't think they realize what animal that they're dealing with in the coach and me, and I just don't tolerate it. When I go to this thing, I don't care about what they do. I'm interested in my player and what she's doing and giving her the support that she needs to go out and take care of business, and that's all I care about. I mean, they can do whatever they want. I have zero interest in them. I have 100% interest in my player and her performance, and that she performs to the best of her ability, so they can do whatever they want. I don't care.
One more I want to touch on with you before I go on. When a parent, say I'm a parent, I never met you, Susan, but I have a 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid. He's about 6'3", 6'4". He's a big hitter. His coach just relocated. I'm looking for a coach, and my son is a guy, you know, this macho big guy. Do you ever get any parents that come to you that with kids or with boys that think that because you're a female, you can't control their son? You can't offer their son anything because you're a female coach and you can't teach their son how to hit a serve 125. You can't understand the male game because you're a female. I mean, what experiences do you have? You know, you're a girl. You know, he's a boy. You know, I want my son to be with a manly man. You know, he's a man. You know, do you ever get in any of those kind of situations, Susan?
I mean, I think those conversations with me usually last about a minute. typically.
Or your colleague.
They get a sense of who I am. And
maybe a colleague.
I've seen that. I've definitely seen it in my career. And, you know, then I look back when they say that, well, we want a man serve. And I was like, well, well, maybe if you're lucky, maybe you'll hit a serve as good as Serena. You know, maybe you will. you know, if you're lucky, maybe your backhand might be as good as Justine Hill. Maybe, you know, you know, and that's kind of my attitude. You know, maybe you want to play like a girl there. You know, tactics and strategy are pretty much, they are what they are. And whether it's in the men's game or the girls game, and that would be like saying, well, you know, you know, guys shouldn't be coaching females. You know, I mean, I think if you have the communication skills and the skill set, it doesn't matter if you're a guy coaching a girl or a girl coaching a guy. I mean, look at what, you know, Maresma has been a huge help to Andy Murray, you know, but then again, he's used to having a girl coach. I mean, his mom. I mean, look at Jimmy Connors. It was primarily his mom. You know, I mean, Jeff Tarango's coach was primarily his mom, I do believe. I mean, I'd have to ask Jeff that one, but I know he started, she started him out.
Could you imagine her being, could you imagine if she was anything like him, getting mad on a call? Oh, Lord.
Oh, no, she's, I know them both really well, because I lived on the other side of Maricopa High School from them, and, I've actually taught on her court before. She's a super sweet lady. I adore her. She's very, very nice. And Jeff couldn't be any nicer of a human being. He's a hell of a commentator, and he's a good guy. He is a really good guy, very knowledgeable. I mean, you know, what can I say? You know, we've all had our tempers. His has just been a little bit more, you know, been videoed, you know. But he's a great man. I think the world of him, actually.
All right, Susan. Well, what's this now? I hear that we're putting together, CTC is putting together an essay contest for two kids. I guess we're going to be paying their entry fee to a tournament. To a tournament.
Yeah.
What's this
idea
about that? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, well, what we're going to do is we're going to put it out there that it's $1 to enter, so there shouldn't be anybody fucking out over that. So we'll do it for the GoFundMe account. And
if you can't pay $1, let me know, and we still get you in.
And we're going to pick a guy and a girl, and it's $50, which should cover an entry fee. And it's basically, you know, why do you want to play college tennis? What does college tennis mean to you, and why you want to play there? And it could be any age kid can write it. And I encourage any age kid to write it. And send it to us. We're both easy to find on Facebook and on Messenger. And I think the whole planet has my phone number and my my email. But if you want to email it, mine is sdnardi@gmail.com. If they want to email it to me or email it to you. And you are what? Just tennis?
You can email just tennis. You can go to TennisWest, TENNISWES @gmail.com, or they can simply if there's a coach, they can simply post it to. They can post it as a post. They can post it to us or send it to us. They can post it and let us know. I guess there's other ways that they can post it. Can they post it? Can a coach post it?
I'm sure one of our wonderful admins would post it up. If not, you and I will see it and post it up. But yeah, I think that would be a great thing. Just, we need to get the word out, you know, and kids need to get the brush. And I mean, it doesn't have to be fancy. Nobody says it has to be 500 word essay, you know, a well written paragraph, you know, works fine too. You know, just, you know, it's got to express your reasons on why you want to go play college tennis.
Yes, and then we've got another one. We've got one for coaches. We've got one that I think is a steal, and I don't understand why any coach would not want to. All you've got to do is come up with a post to to answer the question that a young man may tell you, tennis is a sissy sport. All you have to do is come up with a great little couple of paragraphs about how you would convince that, and you can win yourself two of some of the best tennis books I have ever read, and also autographed copies by the author himself, Coach Dave Smith. I mean, you got to have these coaching master and players. You've got to have these books, and all you've got to do is a post of why tennis isn't a sissy sport. What you would say to a young man who said tennis is a sissy sport, you know, because I've got both of those books, and they're great. And an autographed copy, too, hey, that's a steal. That's a steal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are two must books to have in your library. They're blueprints on how to do everything. Wonderful books. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and I can't wait to hear some of the folks' creative answers to that. I mean, I have my own opinion about it, and, you know, I even have the books, and I don't have autographed copies, and, you know, I'd love to steal it. But, you know, that Dave is being generous to donate those, I think is awesome. I encourage everybody. I mean, take a moment, do it, and you'll love those books.
Yes, yes, yes. And we've got some other great things going on. But listeners, today we're having a short show today because we're preparing for a Sunday show where I hope it's going to be a barn burner. We're going to have, our internet Facebook rival and sensation, Coach Dai Wu. I can't wait. You know, him and I are always at each other from head to toe. I mean, no, we're always fighting, always debating. And Coach Jarrett Flick. I can't wait for Sunday's show. We're going to talk about coaching paying $300. I don't believe coaching time. I can't wait to see him. Coaches paying $300 for lessons. I don't care about no New York. I don't care. And then, I just can't wait to get with Coach Dai, you know. And then Jared's going to share his national experience with us and tell us how great everything is up in the Northeast, because I just think, you know, there's no tennis up there. You know, they said they're going to prove me wrong. So, hey, it should be a barn burner this Sunday. It should be a barn burner. You might have to bring a referee here.
I think you need to do a bet over New York pizza and Southern barbecue. That's what I think you should do that on.
That could be interesting. Maybe we could put together between now and the show. Let's see if we can come up with something like that. I'm sure that we wouldn't mind buying. I'm sure him and Jared won't mind buying us Southern barbecue, because Jared's got one bet going, but he ain't winning this one. And I might even get a bet to get out of that one there. But it should be a barn burner. You know, we'll talk a little bit about physical conditioning and about tennis in general, where I know Coach Dai Wu feels as though, you know, tennis is, to me, I feel as though tennis should be for everybody. You know, we should have different prices. Well, a lot of people have different ideas, and I just want everybody to know it should be a barn burner, and I hope that everybody joins us for that show. All right, Susan?
Hey, Wes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, something clicked on my phone. I apologize. But, yeah, no, I think it's going to be an amazing show. And, you know, we pulled pork sandwiches with coleslaw on top, just so the gentleman knows.
That's right. Well, I just want to give us a close tonight. I just want to thank everybody for listening to us. I just wanted to share some of a female's perspective and Coach Susan's perspective and a female coach's perspective of tennis. You know, we didn't go into too much too detailed or too drastic or too controversial, but I think there's a whole nother world and a whole nother level that we could go to that I think that the industry and that men that we, even I'm a male coach, that we, if we want to make our industry better, if we want to make our everything better, we have to look at every part of the industry, not just technical, not just things, but how we treat each other, how we treat female coaches and how we respect them. And that's very, very important to us. But I just want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And everybody, I want you to join us Sunday. It's going to be a great, great show. Susan, I want to say good night to you and good luck to you this weekend, and I'll talk to you Sunday.
All right, talk to you Sunday, Wes. Always good to to talk to you and chat with everybody, and we'll see you Sunday. You know, it'll be the New York Pizzas against the Southern Barbecue. It'll be hard.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. All right, Susan, I'll talk to you Sunday. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Have a great evening, everybody.